All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will sing a song or two. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day. And thank you for life and health and strength, for the sunshine, Lord, for this little bright spot in the past few weeks that just have not been very bright. But Lord, I pray especially for John and Christine and Will and for the rest of the family at this time, that you would be with them. Lord, for Esther, for Leonard, for Pat and Steve, for John, Lord, also for Carol and Stephen, for Lord, for Ling and Frank too, for Christy, for Taylor, for Norman, for Monica and myself, for the folks on the road here, Lord, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Stephen and Anne-Marie, Lord, and their great help this past few months, for Jane and Corey, for Norman and Noel and Joan, and for that other Norman, Lord, not ours, that wanders up and down the road every day. Please be with Alan and Pearl. Please save, I pray, Sally and Sammy and Kate, and Henry and Evelyn too, Father. And for everybody that gets a listen or clicks on the link, I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon them. I pray you too for the leaders in our countries, especially in America at this time. And you know what, Lord, right the way across the world, everybody's feeling a bit of the pinch right now, and sometimes people are not making right decisions, but I pray you, Lord, for godly wisdom, for men that are prepared to change their ways and follow you, not just for leaders, but for the citizens of these countries as well. Lord, we really, really do need you. I pray your good hand upon us, not just this morning, but for the rest of our lives, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would open our understanding of what we should and what we shouldn't do. And Lord, we pray most importantly that your will would be done. We love you and thank you. Please be one of our number during the service. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. For anybody that's interested, our Bible references this morning are Revelation 7 for our Bible reading, and 2 Peter 1 for our sermon. So that's in case you get to, you want to set that up beforehand. But we're going to begin singing with hymn number 65 in the big books. Hymn number 65 is Just Over in the Glory Land.
Style. Bible reading, and I hope it's a help to you. This one is from Acts 4 and verses 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Thank you for that. Amen. 259 is going to be our next hymn. This one is Jesus Saves. 259. I bring the Bible reading. This one was requested by Brother Steve. This is from Revelation 7. Please do feel free to join me. And if you would rather just listen, well, that's good as well. Amen. Revelation chapter 7. And the Word of God says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. The wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Zabulon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are red and white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes white, and made them white in the blood, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve, for that. Right. Have we any special announcements? We mentioned Will's dad earlier on. Does anybody else have any special announcements that they would need to make known or have us pray about? All right. Just a little bit of a reminder that as the week commences, there are a few more restrictions have been brought in place by the government, and that as you go into shops now, you have to wear masks. If you have animals, specifically dogs, short leashes, and there's a few other people could do with being on short leashes as well, but just be careful. Don't open yourself up to getting pounds lighter in your pocket any more than you have to be. But do continue to pray. There's a lot of restrictions have been put in place on people, and it does affect people. It does affect people. Please do pray, and please keep your eyes upon the Lord, because regardless of what goes on in this world, and no matter how the standards change or the rules and regulations change, Jesus never changes. He's the same. And he has the same comfort and peace for you as he had for people thousands of years ago and before all this stuff started. So keep your eyes on him. The Bibles can still be there even when your favorite TV shows have run out of recorded episodes. When Facebook stops, your printed Bible still works. When your phone breaks, your printed Bible still works. Whenever the cell networks are down, the prayer network still works. So keep your eyes upon the Lord. Cultivate a good relationship with him and make a friend of your Bible. Don't forget to have a wee read of it every day. God's good and he loves each and every one of us. So keep your eyes on him, if you would. Amen. Right, I think that's about that. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Christy, would you mind leading us, please, if you would, brother?
The ability and Lord, the wellness to be in your house this morning amongst your people, Lord. Pray especially for those that couldn't be here, Lord, specifically John and Christine this morning. That you'd help John, Lord, that you'd help doctors and nurses that's dealing with him, Lord, just to sort his health out, Lord, and just pray for a touch for him, for a touch of comfort for Will and Christine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just be with them. But remember now, Lord, for Pat and Steve, Lord, for Leonard, Lord, all who could be and aren't here, Lord, as well. The ones, Lord, that have only stepped away from you, we pray for them as well, that you draw them back. Lord, we pray a blessing upon the preacher this morning as he stands to proclaim your word, Lord. Holy Ghost, power and wisdom, Lord, from heaven, the only you can give, Lord, that you open hearts and minds to the sound of your word as well this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Save lost souls, Lord, strengthen your church, edify your children, Lord, we pray. Lord, just lead us in these days, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
441, great is thy faithfulness.
There is no shadow of turning.
put our hymn books away and take our Bibles out, if you would. I was sharing with, I think it was with Norman and Brother and Christy earlier on there about this is the state of minds of some of the young people that are out causing bother in the world. I read on an American Fox News actually about how a lot of these people that are out there destroying businesses and setting government buildings on fire are taking the state or the county to court because safety gear for them is too expensive. And they want the state to subsidize or to make a way whereby they can have free safety gear to protect them from the police that are trying to keep them in order. That is the state of the minds of those that are opposing everything that is good and decent. We want to cause trouble, and we want for you to not only to pay for us to cause trouble, but pay for us to get out of prison and to pay to fix all the damage that we cause. There has to be something wrong with that, that somebody's mummy never paddled their behind for them whenever they were little. Goodness. I am sure I could find a couple of lads with 2x4s that would be more than happy to accommodate them right now. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would like to turn there this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. Lots of folks needing prayed for, leaders needing prayed for, countries needing prayed for, and God's people needing prayed for. Don't forget Brother Stan and Karen. Not Brother Karen, Brother Stan and Sister Karen in Bangor. Don't forget Mark and Jeremiah and Samuel and Faith. Do please pray for Jade as well. For Stuart and Jennifer and Hannah, and for Stuart and Iola, I think it is, or Iona. Forgive me if I got it. Iola? I keep getting that wrong. Because I know an Iona from many, many, many years ago, a wee girl that was, and I thought that name was strange. And then for someone to put an L in instead of the N, that's just blowing my tiny mind at the moment. Please do pray for them. Don't forget the Monica's folks. They're looking after a church over in America in Black Creek, along with Pastor Asquith and many other preachers and pastors that are opening the King James Bible and preaching the full counsel of it. Please do pray for each and every one of God's children and those that would be God's children. All right, verse number 1, we're reading the first 11 verses of this portion of God's word. And I want to bring you a few thoughts this morning on the subject of standing. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You could read on there, but we're stopping there. We're taking verses 5, 6, and 7 as our text this morning, and we are taking a
if I can just find it. It's in there somewhere, and I'm sure we will come across it. One word from one of the other verses, the last line from verse 10. If you do these things, you shall never fall. So if you're never going to fall, you're always going to be standing. So that's where our title is coming from this morning. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Brother Will, would you lead us, please?
Dear Father, thank you this day, Lord. Lord, thank you for salvation, Lord, for prayer, good gift you've given us, Lord, through our lives, Lord, and for your presence at the church and have a chance to be able to come out to church on a solo Lord, with Sundays. You've given them to men as pastor, that you've given them that you should come out to church and lovely to worship and Lord, that is good for you, Lord. To this day, Lord, for those who are allowed to church today, Lord, I just come out to the solo Lord, with Steve and Pat, and Esther, and my dad, and my mom, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We are from, especially my dad, Lord, giving the doctors the wisdom and the knowledge and the skills, Lord.
Yes,
to
Lord.
His condition getting worse, Lord, and even, Lord, it was possible to get better, Lord. Only now you can do these things. With Esther, Lord, for shed the former, Lord, help her and keep her, Lord, and stop her pain, Lord. We have also Pat and Steve, also, Lord, that may help them through Steve's legs, Lord. And also, and his body, and also, if he's got diabetes, that they will not complicate things in his life, Lord, and his health, Lord. But also, with Leonard, Lord, with him also, as he's a amazing manner, and your back to Lord, help him and keep him, help him, Lord, and Lord, give him a strong to him, Lord, and bless him and keep him, I pray. We have this world, Lord, and with the people that are getting COVID-19, that they die, Lord, and they're vaccinated, and souls. May their lives be saved, Lord, and Lord, primarily, Lord, may their souls be saved from the pain. We're working on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in Calvary 2,000 years ago, Lord. Let's say, Lord, and provide for us and give us, Lord, with the Christian organization that we support, Lord,
yes,
and
Lord.
We support the Lord, Lord, with Lisa and Bashan, the Lord's Christian Institute, Kissers Schools, and other organizations, Lord. Lord, pray for them and keep, Lord, and promote them so that they may promote more of thy stand, Lord, that they may be risen up in there for the people may glorify and greatly rejoice in thy great and holy name, Lord, as above all, Lord. Bless today, Lord, with Mark, give him the touch of the Spirit, Lord, and provide for him and keep him, Lord, and pray with us all, Lord, and give us a message today, Lord, our great and holy name for Jesus Christ, again, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Amen. Verses 5, 6, and 7 are our text this morning. I'll just read them again and then we will move on. And beside this, giving all diligence, this is Peter's instruction to whomever reads this portion of God's word, but speaking specifically to Christians. It's assuming you have the faith to be saved because it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. If you were to read some of the accounts in the Gospels that involved Peter, you would think it was two different men that were being looked at or were being considered here. Because this does not seem like the writings of that Peter that shouted out to the Lord, let me walk in the water, hopped out of the boat and started making his way and started to sink because he took his eyes off the Lord. It doesn't sound like that, Peter. And it doesn't sound like the Peter that rebuked the Lord after the Lord was telling him how things were going to be, that rebuked the Lord and then was referred to as Satan by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't sound like the Peter that whenever the Lord was about to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, whipped his sword out and whipped the ear off one of the servants of the high priests and then ran away. And neither does it sound like the Peter that denied the Lord three times just when all the Lord could have been doing with as a friend. It doesn't sound like that Peter at all. It sounds like a lot has happened in between then and now. And we do know from Brother Christie's study in Acts, quite handy, that Peter has been doing a lot of growing. That Peter has been, most importantly, the big difference between the old Peter and this Peter, has been saved, has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and has had the blessing to be able to actually perform some of the miracles that his Lord and Saviour and leader and friend in this world was able to perform and has seen. The difference, not that the miracles make, but that these characteristics make. And I want to just take a few minutes this morning and think about all of these characteristics. And I want for you to consider as well, as we read through, that there is a specific order for these things. It doesn't say to add kindness as soon as you're saved. It doesn't say it. It has a particular order, and we'll have a look at it. It begins with faith. And everybody's Christian life begins with faith. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, whenever Nicodemus came to visit him one night, "Nicodemus, marvel not when I say unto you, ye must be born again." It's not a physical rebirth, Nicodemus. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's a where you stop having faith in your strength and your wisdom and your riches and your belongings, and you start having faith in Christ Jesus. You must be born again. That is the simplest, the smallest step that any soul can ever take. It is that step that sets you above John the Baptist. And look at all that John the Baptist was able to do. And it's trusting in Jesus Christ and what he says is your Saviour, instead of investing in gold. It's okay to invest in gold. Instead of investing in silver, instead of investing in good works, instead of investing in stocks and shares, to see you to heaven, God says, invest in me. Trust my Son as your Saviour. You will get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you repent of your sins and you literally tear them out of that space in your heart, that gives the Holy Spirit somewhere to live. In fact, the Holy Spirit cannot indwell anybody that has not turned from their sins and made space in their hearts for him. And whenever that happens, that person at that moment has the potential to become the greatest of Christians. You know the Christians that they write books about, that they make films about? When a soul is saved, they have that potential. They could be the greatest of Christians. They could be the father, the mother, the grandfather, the grandmother, the child that does nothing but devotes their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "I'm going to do it your way." That's what that person could be at that moment in time. And that indwelling of the Holy Spirit opens the door to an unlimited life with Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say? If you want to have a life second to none in this world without Jesus, you can certainly try. And I can guarantee you, you'll fail. But if you want to have that sort of life with Jesus, the Bible says, with man these things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. And it's not just about trusting in Christ for salvation that we need. It's trusting in Christ first, in obedience, that we need. In other words, everybody has an opinion. If I asked Brother Norman his opinion about Fox News, he would say, probably the best news channel in the world. If I went across the town and asked my friend, my good friend Clive, what he thought of Fox News, he would say, "That's a right-wing propaganda tool." And if I asked other people, I can't watch the news in other places. I just want to slap people for the stupid things that they say and tell other people. And other people would have sliding view of the conservatism or the liberalism of all the different news aspects. If I asked everybody what they thought of football, some people would live and die in how their team was doing. And then you have people like me that think that playing football for 2 hours on a Sunday afternoon on TV is a waste of good broadcasting time. Everybody has their own opinion, and you're entitled to your own opinion.
But if you want to be a good child of the King of Kings, you will put God's opinion before your own opinion. And if you learn to do that, that is you started on the road to a successful Christian life. But it doesn't stop there, for what does Peter say? He says, add to your faith virtue. Now, I looked it up just to be on the safe side. I didn't want to be caught out. And virtue basically is, or virtue is, it sounds almost contradictory, the standards to which you hold yourself. That's what virtue is. And Peter says, add virtue to your faith. And that means, behave yourself in a manner which pleases God. Your language should not be filthy. It should not be blasphemous. And it should not be profane. And neither should it be to the detriment of other people, unless, of course, they are wicked evildoers and you're pointing them out to people. But even then, it's not to cut the feet out from underneath them. It is to point them to the foot of the cross. That's just your language. Your clothing should be such that it doesn't draw attention to you and your youth and your beauty or any features that you think mark you apart and make you better than anybody else. It should be to cover you and protect you. And if you need to wear decent clothes to work in an office, wear them. I'm doing it this morning. I don't have my Armani, my copy Armani suit on me. I have my wedding suit on. And it still fits. And I had to go through a life-threatening illness for it to do that. So I don't recommend that. If you ever, and you will, unfortunately, see young ladies in various states of undress whenever you click on summer break. What do you call that thing in America? Spring break. It's not summer break. It's spring break. It's too cold for bikinis and bathing shorts over here during the spring. And they proudly parade themselves out on the beaches. But yet and all, if you walked in on them and they didn't have their skirt or trousers on but had a t-shirt and underclothes and this, that, and the other, they'd be freaking out. People have very, very mixed standards in dress. I do not like to see anything that only your spouse or your doctor should be seeing, because you are not doing yourself a service and you are not doing other people that will see you a service. You are, in fact, doing both parties or all parties a disservice. So dress appropriately. Dress so that when people look at you, they don't say, "My, that slapper got off for work early today." You don't want to be being referred to like that. You want to be saying, "There's a well-dressed young man or young woman." You don't often see that. In fact, before all this kicked off, occasionally in Belfast, we made it up on a Monday, and we would see there are some young ladies that went to a school there that would always have the skirts down to above the ankles. And it was refreshing to see that whenever you compared them to all the other wee girls that had the skirts that went to their knees, but then spent the first half hour of their bus journey to school rolling them up so that they didn't even cover their behinds. Those are not meant to glorify God. Those are meant to entice members of the opposite sex into committing adultery in their hearts and in their minds and in their bodies. We need to be clothed appropriately. I'm not saying that we need to wear ties like this, or ties with crosses on them, or ties with Bible verses on them, but we should be clothed so that people see us and remember our testimony. Not that they see us and see how many reps that we can do with a big barbell. Word of God also warns us about the places that we go. There's a little song that the children sing about being careful, little eyes what you see and ears what you hear and hands what you do and feet where you go. Be careful where you are found. You are not to be found, the Bible says, as an evildoer. You are not to be found as a drunkard in pubs and brothels and drug dens. You shouldn't be found looking up at the top shelf of dirty magazines and Tesco's of all places, a family store with filthy, dirty magazines in them. You shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be found in in a stranger's bed. All of these things. We need to be careful where we put ourselves, because everything that we say, every piece of clothing we wear, and every place that we go makes up our testimony. And we're either pointing people to heaven or we're pointing people to hell. And of course, we ought to be careful how we deport ourselves and treat others. You know what God said to Moses to tell to the children of Israel? He said, be nice to strangers, because you were strangers once as well. Treat people right. I remember going to Jim Van Voltenberg. That might be a strange name to some of you, but he's a missionary over in Dundee. And every year, except for this year, he would organise like a retreat for pastors and missionaries. And you can go for a week and you can get preaching and meet up with other missionaries and other preachers and pastors. And I remember taking my car over there. I think it was the Mondeo ML55 UBV. And someone tore off the Ford logo off the front where you put your key in, because it was an English reg in a Scottish city. And do we not treat the white number plates with the DL in the middle of them, something like that? And we say, there's a Donegal driver. Oh, for heaven's sake, would they drive on the right side of the road? There's one going the wrong way round the roundabout. That is true. And I have even heard of some people that would take a key and scrape the side of a Donegal car that is parked just because it's Donegal plates. Treat people right. We're supposed to be godly. Don't forget Jesus, God Almighty in the flesh. How did he treat people? Do you remember the woman that came, Lord, Lord, have mercy on my daughter? And Jesus said, it's not fit for me to give the children's meat unto dogs. She was a Samaritan or a Gentile or something like that. And she said, but Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And the Lord said, be it unto you as you wish. And the daughter was made whole. He went to the countries of the Samaritans. He went to the Gadarenes that chased him away whenever they saw the maniac recovered from his demon possession. But he went and he invited. And even the whole way through the Bible. Does anyone remember Rahab the harlot in the city of Jericho? An enemy of the children of Israel. But because she had faith in God, she was saved and written into the line of Jesus Christ. There are many instances. Be nice to folks. Whenever we go on, it says, it doesn't stop there, it says, add knowledge to your virtue. Does that mean that we hit the books and learn everything there is to know about the atom? About quantum physics, about nuclear explosions, about the internal combustion engine? No, there's a time and a place for that. It means we should apply ourselves to learning what God wants for us in this life. What God says about our lives. Has anybody here ever read the Bible and a verse of it spoke to you? It literally said, this is the way you should be behaving. This, you really need to keep this in your mind because it will encourage you. We are supposed to study, to show ourselves approved. Who to? Unto God. Because I can guarantee you, all the folks that were out in Derry last night getting pie-eyed, if indeed they're still allowed to, would not come up and sit down beside you and congratulate you on quoting them the first 10 or 15 verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. They are not going to thank you. It is God that will thank you. Because those people, whether they like it or not, need to hear that. We need to learn. Did anybody here like poetry whenever they were at school? And I don't mean Humpty Dumpty. That's for being really low. Did anybody... I can remember one piece, one couple of lines
and I don't, it might ring a bell, where it says, I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats o'er vales and hills, till all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. There's one other one that springs to mind. Do you know how I remembered that? I don't know how I remember it. But do you know how I first got it into my head? I remember walking up and down the kitchen with a piece of paper in my hand, much the way I do with Bible verses, repeating it over and over and over again until it stopped there. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to jam it in my head. Would you make sure the Holy Spirit does something with it? We are called to ask questions about the Bible. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as wool. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as white as snow. Ask God questions. Did God not say in Revelation, was it Revelation 2? I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open, I will enter in and sup with him and he with me. We will sit down and talk things over. We are called to study the Word of God. Why? Well, it's quite simple. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the greatest of those is in men's hearts. People need to hear the gospel. And the only place they're going to hear it is from you, Christian. Because very few lost souls are ever going to pick a Bible up. And the Word of God has wisdom for every situation in life. And I was just talking to young Jake and Mark the other day, and I know they love computers, and I am sure they sit whenever I say things like that, and they went, but there was no computers in the Bible. Actually, there were. What do you think gave that image life in Revelation? A little computer-generated image hopping around on the screen, or just a recording of it? There were computers in the Bible. But when it talks, Bible doesn't mention about hacking. Yes, it does. It says keep your sticky fingers to your own stuff. That's it, plain and simple. Don't take other people's stuff. Don't mess with other people's stuff. Don't covet other people's stuff. When you tell stories about people on Facebook, it's still a lie. Whether there's people or people, let me tell you something, friends. Whether we sit in our offices with keyboards and cameras and screens looking at what's happening across the world, or whether we're out in the field with a hoe and a rake, people are still people. And people are still sinners. And sinners behave like sinners. This is why the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit and then virtue. Then instructed us to be virtuous and knowledgeable. Here's one that folks don't really like. Temperance. Have you ever heard of the temperance movement that arose about, 150 thereabouts years ago? A lot of people think it means a little bit of what you fancy will not do you any harm. I have news for you. A little bit of what you fancy will actually do you harm, because it turns into a big bit of what you fancy, and then it turns you into an addict. Temperance means saying no to stuff. Temperance means that whenever you're tempted, that you say no. When the devil tempts you to drink, you say no. I'm not going to drink. Who knows what will happen? What's the old saying? When the drink's in, the wit's out. And the problem today is that the devil has successfully undermined most Christians. And they don't even know it. Because most people in the past 2-3 generations have been raised up with this in their heads. What you want is the most important. You deserve everything the world has. This is what people are told. You deserve it. The world owes you. And what does that do to people? Well, turn on the news and you see what it does to people with no temperance. What does temperance do to people? Temperance has people going out and working for a living and paying their way and looking after their spouses, their children and their parents and being respectful of other people's stuff. A Christian is supposed to be temperate. And sometimes it's not easy.
Now, I know Norman and Will here have a little bit of experience in being trained in various things. I am sure you had an instructor, whether it was a drill instructor, a drill sergeant. And I am sure he didn't come up and sit down beside you with a nice cup of sweet hot tea on a cold day and say, Norman, how's about you and me? We go for a brisk walk through this assault course. And we have a nice leisurely 10-mile walk. And we'll get back at 11 o'clock in time for a cup of tea and a chocolate biscuit. That sound familiar, Will? Do you remember your drill sergeant? If he's anything like the guys on Full Metal Jacket with the hat pulled down, looking down his nose at you, shouting almost like a jet plane in your face, and you getting your face covered in spit as he demanded and even maybe stuck his toe up your backside, get out there and run those 10 miles. And you're thinking, man, this is awful. What did I sign up for? Get those 50 press-ups done. Get those 100 sit-ups done. Get up out of your bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I am sure that many of those recruits thought that their drill sergeant hated them. But he loved them more than their own mammies and daddies that spoiled them rotten, because he was providing them the means and the character to survive all of the things that were going to come his way. And that's why God says we need to be temperate. And we need to be the sort of person that can catch themselves when someone calls you a bad word, that can catch themselves before the fist makes an impact with that person's face. We need to be temperate. You ever heard of a one and done? You know what a one and done is? It's a bit like this. Are you going to get bent out of shape whenever you're out giving out gospel tracts because someone calls you a Holy Joe or a Mormon or Moses? Because if you are, you're a one and done. You'll never go out again. Or are you going to feel rejected after someone says, excuse me, I don't want that old track. And don't ever come back to this house again. Is that you? Are you going to be done because someone rejected a gospel tract that you handed out? Are you done after one? Are you going to get demoralized because someone beats you in a conversation? And I'll give you a for example, the one that always sticks in my mind. If Adam and Eve only had two sons, Cain and Abel, where did Cain get his wife from? And I thought, that's a very good question. And the proper answer is, when you don't know, is, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I will find out and I will be back next week with the answer. Because the Bible does have the answer. And the simple answer to that is that Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, and then Seth, and lived until he was 929 years old and had sons and daughters. And if you're living for nearly 1,000 years, you're going to have more than 20 or 30 years of having kids, let me tell you. There's going to be like hundreds of years of having kids, which could be like 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 or more children, and all of them ready to live for 1,000 years or more. That's how all the people got started in this world. You don't want to be a one and done. Just remember this one thing, that when someone insults you or calls you names or rejects you when you're doing the Lord's work, it's not you they're rejecting, it's the Lord. Remember these things. Remember them. To temperance, self-control, Peter says, add patience. I know if you've been here for any length of time, you have patience, because my messages always go on a bit long. So I'm helping you along with my long messages. Temperance is control over yourself, and patience with yourself, if you like. Patience is patience with other things that happen to you, and you having to grind your teeth or grit your teeth and smile and say everything will be all right, the Lord knows. Rome wasn't built in a day. And whenever you find yourself not up to a task as a Christian, You're supposed to have patience. Because Christians are called upon to grow. And all of these things are like growth stages in a Christian, and they're ongoing. It can be frustrating when someone beats you in an argument. It can be frustrating when brothers and sisters don't grow like they do. It can be frustrating whenever you get the finger pointed at you for being a Christian, for doing the right thing. Just remember a couple of things. That whenever things are not happening for you as quickly as you would like or the way you would like, think about how God views you. And how many times he has had to roll his eyes. Oh no, there goes Mark again. Oh no, there goes Will again. Oh no, Norman's never stopped. And so on and so forth. And how many times he has had to not call fire down from heaven on you for disobeying him. How many times he has not caused the earth to open up and swallow you for you rebelling against him. We are supposed to be patient. A lot of people,
whenever they've gone to help and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take up any of your time," or you let someone in front of the queue and they're in a hurry. "Oh, thank you, you've saved me that few minutes." One of the wee quips that rolls off my tongue is, "Look, I am going to live in heaven forever. 5 minutes here and now is not going to kill me. So don't worry about it." It's being patient. It is difficult because it says the trial of your faith worketh patience. Patience is like a piece of old wrought iron that needs carbon added to it, that needs heated and cooled and heated and cooled and sharpened before it gets turned into a usable weapon or implement. And that is what we are. We need patience. One of the funniest examples was whenever I used to sit down there and the preacher would stand up here and he would reel off verse after verse of scripture, and I would say, "Where does he get those from? How can I get to be like that?" It's patience and reading and studying and memorizing the Word of God. It's patience. Souls don't get saved quickly many times. And we don't worry whenever people don't get saved, whenever we tell them, "Jesus says you must be born again." And they go, yeah, where have we heard that before? But the more they hear it, the more they are likely to believe it. We are only called to sow and to water. It is God that gives the increase. We might be called upon to reap occasionally, but we need to be patient. I could just stand here and look at you for a moment and see how patient everybody is. You know the way that people fussle the papers whenever they're getting impatient and start flipping over the pages. Anyway, we have a couple more and then we'll be done. Godliness. Whenever it said godliness, I immediately thought of Antioch, because the Bible says that God's followers were called Christians first in Antioch. And they were called Christians because they behaved like Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He went out of his way to help people. He helped them, he prayed with them, he prayed for them, he prayed in front of them. He healed them. He had compassion upon them. He wept with them and he rejoiced with them. With us. We are called to be like Jesus, to be like God, who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are supposed to sacrifice, to take time to minister to people. We are to behave so that people can see God in us. Not so that they see the mischief in us and the mischievous little monkey in us, but so that they see God in us. We're supposed to forgive. Didn't God forgive even in the Old Testament? He was so sick, sore and tired of the children of Israel at one point. He said, "I'm going to kill them all and I'm going to start with you and your family, Moses." And Moses petitioned God for them. And God repented of his plan. He forgave them.
He's willing to forgive every single sin in the face of this world that has ever been committed, except the sin of rejecting his Son as Savior. He will not forgive that sin. And you know what, friends? We're called to do that too. And you know, I know what it's like when people do stuff on you and all you want to do is put your hand on their shoulder and your other hand on the top of their head and just twist it a few times until it drops off and kick that head down the street. I know that's in us. But whether or not they stop, we are called even to forgive them, because holding that even in your heart is enough to burn you and to mark you and to make you bitter. We're called to oppose sin as well. Did Jesus not say to the scribes and Pharisees, "Hey, good job, lads. Well done for keeping my seat warm. I'll take it now." That's pretty much what he did say, but the scribes and the Pharisees were so obtuse and so anti-Christian, he said, "You scribes and Pharisees, you bunch of hypocrites." That's normally how he started off addressing them. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He said, "You're like whited sepulchres, whited graves. You look beautiful on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness on the inside." We are called to oppose wickedness and sin, starting in our own lives and working out from there. We are supposed to read the Word of God, see how God behaves, Jesus Christ most specifically, and we're supposed to be like that. And as we move on, we go to brotherly kindness. The Bible says quite plainly, you'll know you're saved. You'll know you've passed from death unto life when you love the brethren. And the best way I have of explaining that is that you would do for your brothers in Christ what you would do for your favourite wee brother. That's it. For your cute wee brother. For the wee brother you used to pick up and hold and lift and lay, and for the wee brothers that you would put one on the front of the bike and one on the back of the bike, and then as he got bigger, one on the crossbar, and cycle into Portadown and back with them on it, just because you wanted them to experience Portadown and getting a bag of sweets and the run in and out. That's the sort of love we're supposed to have for the brethren. That whenever you go out and about and you see something and you think, that would be perfect not for my little brother, but for my little brother in Christ. That would be perfect for Frank. That would be perfect for Will, for Christy, for Steve, for Pat, for Ling, for Esther, for Norman, for John, for Monica. That's brotherly love. But it also means as well, saying, look, hold on a wee second there, brother. That's really not the right way to be doing things. You should be doing something different. It's not all ice cream and lemonade. Sometimes it's, you need to stop where you're going, because I have seen people go down that way and it normally ends badly for them. Love does not mean everything's hunky-dory and you look through the world. You look at the world through rose-coloured glasses. Sometimes it means saying no. And a lot of people have accused us, just by way of an example, "You hate homosexuals." I don't. "You hate transgender. You hate lesbians." I don't. If I hated them, I would sit at home and I'd be thinking, I'll just let them go on and do what they're doing and they'll kill themselves. Their life expectancy is already 10 years shorter than that of an ordinary heterosexual man. I should be encouraging them. I should have been down in John Street. Keep this place open. I should have been arguing against all the churches that were trying to get it closed if I hated homosexuals and lesbians and transgender and whatever else, whatever other alphabet soup of letters they want to apply. But I say no. Because that lifestyle is harmful It is dangerous. Mentally, physically, spiritually. It's dangerous. And so when someone says no to you, it doesn't mean they hate you. We're called to say no to the brethren if we perceive that they're going down the wrong road. That's what brotherly kindness is. Brotherly kindness is rolling your sleeves up if you've long sleeves on and not being afraid to get dirt under your fingernails for a brother or sister in Christ. It's about saying to them before saying to us. It's about we might not be able to get ourselves lifted up any further, but if we can see a brother or sister that we can lift up, we should do it. That's what brotherly love is. And I hope as you see as we go on, the next one, the final one that we look at is charity. And charity doesn't specifically say only to the brethren, it says charity. Be ready to give for the cause of Christ because he gave to us. In fact, the Bible says that while we were yet strangers, Christ died for us. While we hated God, Christ gave his life on the cross for us. The very ones that were spitting at him, the very ones that slapped him and jammed the crown of thorns down, that beat him to a bloody rag, he was giving his life for them. That's charity. There's an excellent little portion of scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, that talks about charity suffereth long and is kind. It means real, honest-to-goodness, sacrificial love. When you are prepared to go out of your way to help somebody for no reward whatsoever. That's what charity is. And I want for you to see that all of these are given in a specific order and they all start with me. Not me, Pastor, me, but me, each one of us, me. And they start with getting saved, standing on the rock, growing on the rock, studying and learning and drawing closer to God on the rock so that we can help others. The brothers, the brethren in Christ first, and then the lost. Because you can't help others if you're helpless yourself. The last couple of verses we looked at and then we're done. Is the effects of these characteristics on a Christian. Peter said, he that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see, doesn't know what's coming afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Goodness, imagine living a life as a saved soul, but not actually living it as a saved soul. That makes sense to you. Imagine getting saved, never going to church, never opening the Bible, never praying, never leaning on the Holy Spirit, never experiencing God's provision or his miracles in this life. And each one of us is designed from the ground up to have a full life with that stuff. Traditionally, people that were... Did anyone ever see one of those programs? I don't know if it was on YouTube or on the TV, about the wee fella over in America that had actually developed echolocation. He was completely blind, but he went around and he would click. And he could tell if there was something in front of him by the way the sounds would come back at him again. That's crazy. But he was able to do that. But most other people bump into things. This is why people that are registered blind have guide dogs, and they would have a stick sometimes with a little ball in front of it so that whatever's coming hits the stick with the ball before it hits them. And the Lord said they'll become blind leaders of the blind and they'll both fall into a ditch. And God doesn't want us as Christians to come a cropper. He wants us to see and to hear and to understand. In fact, does the Bible not say the prophecies that mean so much to me that I love to read about that are coming to pass on our TVs, does he not say when you see all these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh? God wants us to understand this. And God wants us to be able to see and to understand. The Word of God goes on to say and closes with verse number 8. The other desire of the Christian after they've pleased God should be to see other people saved. Not it? You'd be fruitful and not barren. The last thing that Jesus said to us before he went up into heaven was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell everybody, anybody, that you're a Christian and that folks need to be saved if they want to go to heaven. That's what Jesus said. It's another thing that pleases God, and it makes us feel pretty good too. But imagine getting to heaven. Does anyone recall to mind Revelation 20, where John stood with, I think it was one of the angels, overlooking the great white throne of judgment? And it said that all the dead, small and great, stood before the great white throne of judgment, dead in trespasses and sins. Not like John, not alive unto God, not saved by the blood of the Lamb, but dead. Dead in sins. Naked. Everything, their shame, and soon their sins to be made known to every single person. Can you imagine standing up there beside John as John looks around and you're there? And we're at the end of time. And there's people down there that you and I know. And there will be. There will be some there that maybe you did tell the gospel to and just said no. There'll be some there that you didn't tell the gospel to, and their blood is on your hands. But can you imagine everybody that you know and love down at the great white throne of judgment because you never told them about Jesus? I know a lot of people talk about there never being any more tears, no more pain. Verse of scripture that we were reading this morning from Revelation chapter 7 at the very end, didn't it say that? God will wipe away their tears, the tears of those that have been killed for the cause of Christ during the great tribulation. There's going to be tears at the great white throne of judgment, because there's going to be Christians there that see people that they should have told the gospel to. That's what it means about being fruitful. Seeing souls saved. Now, I know it takes a great love for the Lord. And if you love the Lord and you've made space in your heart for the Lord, and you read the Bible, and you make a point of obeying God, even when your knees are shaking and your voice is quaking, because a lot of the times that's how I go out. I go out like that. But then I start with a verse or two of scriptures. And that's just like shoveling coal into the old engines. And once that heat gets up, you can, the steam starts to go, the pistons start to work, and you get fired up, and you think, these people need to hear. Maybe it's easier for me because I am the pastor and I'm supposed to be a nut job for Jesus. But we're all supposed to tell people about God. If they listen, great. If they don't listen, you've discharged your duty. But whether they accept or whether they reject, that's not our job. Our job is just to tell them. And I don't know about you folks, but I always find the day and life goes so much easier when I start it with Jesus and I start working on these characteristics. All my life I've been a bit obtuse. You've probably gathered that. Just because somebody says something has never been a good enough reason for me to do it. There have been a few formative verses, Bible verses, where it says, confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. I want Jesus talking about me in heaven. I really do. Because I want every single good thing that the Lord has for his children. I want them. I need them. And I remember, Lord, I am terrified knocking on a stranger's door because I'm really quite shy. Or at least I was until I started preaching. And God said, it wasn't me that gave you that spirit of fear. I give you power, love, and a sound mind. That's the devil. He's trying to scare you into shutting up. So the way I got to working was, thinking again, using knowledge and using the wisdom that God offers, that has for anybody. Well, if I feel afraid, it's because the devil's fighting against me and God's fighting for me. Let's lick your finger like that. See where the devil is and poke it in his eye. And whenever he's not looking, you step around him and you go on and do what it is that God would have you to do. That's it. Pin your flag to the mast. Let everybody see your true colours. Because they are going to need you sooner than you are going to need them for any spiritual guidance. There'll come a day, friends, when everyone, like the parable says, that builds their house in the sand is going to come down round their ears. But every single soul that is trusted in Christ, when those storms come, will be able to stand. And that's what God wants for you. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Closing hymn, does anybody have a favourite that they'd like for us to sing? Shout out the title or shout out the number. This is where I exhibit patience.
343.
Revive us again. That'll do. I haven't sung that for a bit. 343. Revive us again. If you're able and want, you're welcome to stand as we sing. For your patience and long suffering. I was just wanting to give you a little bit of a head start in the Christian characteristics we were preaching about this morning. But seriously, don't forget our prayer requests, especially for John at this time. Pray for Esther. She still has that skin complaint. And Steve for his legs and his feet. And I think he has a meeting on Monday to find out what the status of his diabetes. Hopefully it's pre or non-existent, but please do pray for him as well. Pray for each other. Don't forget to wear your masks if you go out to shops starting this week. Don't want anybody coming in with a long face and 100 pounds lighter at the next service. God bless you. Have a good week in Christ until next we meet. And amen. Well, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, please?
Father, thank you for the service, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. And that what really is, Lord, you sent the Lord Jesus Christ in the world to save us from our sins. You died for our sins, Lord. And Lord, use us as standards, Lord, that we go through this land, Lord, and people may see and see our testimony. But more important, Lord, than we talk to people about their lost soul condition, Lord. And Lord, point people to the foot of the lower cross, so they can make that wonderful and life-changing decision to be saved from us and to ask Jesus Christ into their life and to direct their lives, Lord. Bless us today, Lord. Provide for us and keep us, Lord. Thank you for every good thing you've given us, Lord. And provide for us, Lord. And pray for our land, Lord. Help eradicate the COVID-19, Lord. And Lord, save people's lives, Lord. And primarily, Lord, save their souls, also, Lord. And Lord, bless us today, Lord. Guys, and bring us into church next appointed time, Lord. And be with us and keep us, and we reject our lives for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Will. God bless you. And we're dismissed. Shake hands, bump elbows, kick toes. Say hello and goodbye.